Good morning. Today and tomorrow, defense ministers will meet here in Brussels to prepare for our summit in July. We will begin with a meeting of the nuclear planning group, part of our regular consultations to keep NATO's nuclear forces safe, secure and effective. We will also take decisions to modernize NATO's command structure. I expect we will agree to establish two new commands, one for the Atlantic and a support command for military mobility within Europe, as well as a new cyber operations center. Later today, we will address defense spending and burden sharing among allies. To keep our nations safe, we need more defense spending, investment in key capabilities, and forces for NATO missions and operations. In other words, more cash, capabilities, and contributions. Last year, allies decided to report annually on how they intend to deliver all three. And today we will review how far we have come. The reports confirm that we have made substantial progress, but we still have a lot of work to do. Tonight we will meet with High Representative Vice President Federica Mogherini, as well as our colleagues from Sweden and Finland. Together we will discuss EU's efforts on defense and NATO-EU cooperation. Done in the right way, these efforts can make a contribution to fairer burden sharing between Europe and North America. Tomorrow we will focus on our progress in implementing our deterrence and defense posture. We will also discuss NATO's role in projecting stability and the fight against terrorism. NATO contributes to the global coalition to defeat ISIS with AWACS surveillance flights and training for Iraqi forces. And the coalition has made major progress, liberating nearly all of the territory once held by ISIS in Iraq and Syria. But ISIS will remain a threat even when they no longer hold any territory. So training for Iraqi forces is key. In response to a request from the Iraqi government and the global coalition, I expect we will agree to begin planning for a NATO training mission in Iraq. This will put our presence on a firmer footing with established procedures for generating forces and funding. This will help Iraq. This will help make Iraq safer and us more secure. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay. Wall Street Journal.
Mr. Secretary General, the U.S. Announced in its budget plans this week an additional $1.7 billion for European defense, raising the European Deterrence Initiative to $6.5 billion or so. Is this a disincentive to European nations for making investments? How do you ensure that this does not create a free rider problem for European nations?
We welcome the plans to further increase U.S. Presence in Europe, both with more money for troops, for exercises, for equipment, for pre-positioned supplies. This is actually an incentive for Europeans to do even more. And that's exactly what we have seen, because since 2014, we have seen that both the U.S. and Europe have stepped up. We have seen increased U.S. presence at the same time as European allies have stepped up, both by investing more in defense, increasing their defense budgets in real terms, but also stepping up, for instance, with more troops to our enhanced forward presence in the Baltic region and Poland, but also to the southeast of the alliance. So this goes hand in hand. The increased U.S. presence goes hand in hand with European allies doing more for their own defense.
Sky, lady in red.
Hi, Michelle Clifford from Sky. Mr. Secretary General, could I ask your response to reports in the British press today that the UK is not meeting its contribution commitments to NATO? And also, could I ask your thoughts on where you think that captured members of IS should be tried? Where should they be tried?
UK meets its commitments to NATO when it comes to defence spending. UK spends actually 2% and more on defence, and the UK has done that for many, many years. So UK is leading by example by spending 2% on defence. We agreed the guideline 2% back in 2014, and this guideline was agreed according to the way we measure defence spending in NATO. It's a well-established method for measuring defence spending and also making it possible to compare defence spending between different countries. And the 2% guideline was actually established in accordance with the method we have developed in NATO to develop to measure defence spending. So there is no doubt UK is meeting the 2% guideline of NATO, and I welcome that. On the foreign fighters, they are a concern. They are responsible for criminal acts, for violence, and they can still be a threat. Therefore, I welcome the efforts of the nations within the global coalition to defeat ISIS to decide how to deal with them. It's not for NATO, but for the nations inside the coalition to make those decisions.
Gentlemen over here.
Yuri Onishchenko, European Pravda, Kyiv. My question is about Ukraine. Why Ukraine is still not in official list of aspiration countries? Thank you.
NATO and Ukraine, we have a very strong partnership, and NATO provide strong political support, strong practical support to Ukraine, and NATO allies also provide support on a bilateral basis, and we encourage and welcome all that. So we will continue to strengthen our partnership, we will continue to work with Ukraine, and the focus now is on reforms, and I welcome that Ukraine has so clearly stated that their focus now is on reform, and then based on the progress they are making on reform, then, of course, the issue of membership will be assessed based on the progress Ukraine is making.
Secretary General, what do you say to the critic that NATO is more and more returning to old bloc thinking and is reviving the weapons race in Europe?
NATO is a defensive alliance. What we do is proportionate and measured. And for many, many years after the end of the Cold War, NATO allies reduced defense spending, reduced their military capabilities, and we tried to establish a partnership with Russia. Then we have seen, especially since 2014, with the illegal annexation of Crimea, with Russia being responsible for destabilizing eastern Ukraine, we have seen a pattern where Russia is more assertive and where Russia has been responsible for violating international law. We are responding in a defensive, proportionate way with some more military presence in the eastern part of the alliance. Germany is part of that, leading one of the battle groups in Lithuania. But at the same time, we strive for a better relationship with Russia. We don't want a new Cold War. We don't want a new arms race. And therefore, we have what we call a dual-track approach to Russia, defense and dialogue. We have to be firm. We have to be predictable. But at the same time, we will work for a better relationship and for dialogue with Russia.
Gentleman over here.
Zanashin Oruda Media Network. Secretary General, you know there is a fighting in north of Syria, and Turkey a key member in NATO. Would you discuss about the current situation today in your meetings with the defense minister of Turkey, maybe with the defense minister of USA and other member states? Another question about the training and your cooperation with the Iraqi forces. Would you concern and focus on the Iraqi forces in south and middle of Iraq or in the Kurdish region also, KRG? Thank you.
We will discuss NATO's role in the fight against terrorism. And NATO is contributing to the fight against terrorism in many different ways. We are present in Afghanistan to fight terrorism, and we are a member of the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS. We support the coalition by our AVAX surveillance planes and also with some training in Iraq. And all NATO allies participate in different ways in the coalition. But NATO is not present on the ground in northern Syria. Turkey has some legitimate security concerns. No other NATO ally has suffered more terrorist attacks than Turkey, but we expect Turkey to respond in a proportionate and measured way. There are contacts between the United States and Turkey addressing the challenges we see in northern Syria. But as I said, NATO is not present on the ground. But Turkey has briefed NATO allies on their operational olive branch. And I expect Turkey to continue to brief NATO allies on the operation in northern Syria. When it comes to training in Iraq, well, we have some training activities there now. But we are starting, or I expect defense ministers to agree to start planning for a training mission, which will provide a better footing for more training and enable us to do more training if we so decide. Since this is just now planning, it's a bit too early to say exactly what kind of training, but the request from the Iraqi government is about more training to professionalize the Iraqi forces, the Iraqi government forces, and to help them to build military academies, military education institutions, schools, training their officers, train the trainers. But we will, what we will do in Iraq, we will do in full coordination with the government in Baghdad.
Last question, Veder.
Mr. Schoenberg, a question on Germany. How do you see Germany's role in the NATO, particularly concerning the point that there are plans of locating troops in Germany in a not yet named branch, and also the fact that Germany is doing financial measures to reach the 2% goal?
So we welcome that Germany has started to invest more in defense. I have been a politician for many, many years, and I understand that most politicians want to spend money on education, on health, on infrastructure instead of defense. And most NATO allies reduced defense spending after the end of the Cold War because then tensions went down. But if we reduce defense spending when tensions are going down, we have to be able to increase defense spending when tensions are going up, and they are going up now. We see the violence, we see the turmoil to the south of the alliance, Iraq, Syria, but we also see a more assertive Russia. The purpose of having a strong NATO, of also Germany participating to credible deterrence and defense within NATO, is not to provoke a conflict, but it is to prevent the conflict. And therefore, we welcome the increased efforts by Germany to strengthen its armed forces, and also that Germany contributes to our enhanced forward presence by leading one of the battle groups we have in Lithuania, or the battle group in Lithuania, and also the presence of German troops, for instance, in Afghanistan, but also in the Aegean Sea and the Mediterranean, where we deal with the challenges we see in that part of the world. So NATO is present many places. Germany is part of that, and I welcome the German contribution to strengthening NATO's deterrence and defense.
Thank you very much. We will see you at the press conference during the ministerial.
Thank you.